And good morning, everybody. You're listening to the Mighty 690 KGGF here on this pleasant Friday morning. However, rain is moving in to the area. Just a quick look before we head to our guest here. And it is now in Montgomery County, just a little bit, basically the northwestern part of the county, near Elk City Lake. It's in Chautauqua County as well. So rain moving into the forecast. We'll keep you advised on what's going on with that. But joining me in studio this morning is State Senator Virgil Peck. He joins us the second Friday of every month. And Senator Peck, thank you for joining us this morning. We appreciate it.
Good morning, Kyle. I'm appreciative of the opportunity to join you, to visit with you and the listeners. All listen in to what we have to say, whether it's good, bad, or indifference. Yeah, the when I got in my car headed over here, the car thermometer said 48. By the time I got to Caulfield, it said 52. So the temperature is improving.
Mm-hmm.
However, the rain moving in is not going to help the temperature to move a whole lot.
Yeah, not too much. It's right now here at the studio, it's 50 degrees, so it may already be cooling off a little bit. But, yeah, as of right now, just some heavier rain in Elk County and moving into the extreme northwestern parts of Montgomery County. Well, Senator Peck, a few things to kind of discuss this morning. We've been talking about a few things off the air before we came on, and one of the things that we can talk about is, of course, the budget. You guys have been working on the fiscal year 2022, but from the fiscal year 2021 to 2022 and then 2023, things are not looking good for the budget right now.
You're absolutely right. And before we get into the important things, I've got to hit the really important thing, and this comes basically from my wife, and that is last Friday, a week ago today, our granddaughter gave birth to our first great-grandchild. And so we've got a new great-grandchild, and again, some of us, is, you know, that's special, that's great, let's move on. But so some of the ladies, it's like, oh, you know, a new baby, and it is interesting, a new life in the state.
Congratulations, sir. Thank you. I'm glad you brought that up, but congratulations.
Okay, thank you. But yes, the state budget, I am amazed at how the legislature spends money. I voted no to the state budget. There were several provisions in the state budget that I really liked, several things that I thought, hey, those are good things for Kansas, several things I thought were not. But the final straw, because there's no perfect legislation. There's always good in legislation. There's always bad when it comes to the budget. But the final straw for me, Kyle, is when you look at the budget profile provided to us by our research department, which they're nonpartisan, they just provide numbers, they just provide information, shows that the state is going from the current fiscal year, which will end June the 30th, we're spending $7.5 billion. The budget that we passed before we left Topeka spends $8.1 billion. That's a $600 million increase in spending in 1 year. And we can do that because of the fact we have a pretty good ending balance at the end of this current fiscal year. We're projected to have a good ending balance. So we can do that, and it balances because we have money in the bank. But as you mentioned, Kyle, then the following fiscal year, FY 2023, the state is projected to be in the red by $240 million. And it really frustrates me that we had talked in the past about the fact that the legislature had passed legislation, which did get vetoed, that required high school seniors to take a civics course and a financial literacy course in order to pass. The reason I bring that up, when you look at this budget profile, you would get the impression that maybe some legislators need to take a financial literacy course and understand that you can't continuously spend more money than you're projected to bring in and stay afloat. Bad things happen when you continue to spend more than you bring in. So frustratingly, there were some things in the budget bill that I really liked, and a lot of Kansans would like the fact that we require Kansas driver's license offices to be fully open by June 1st, which is coming up here in 2.5 weeks or so. We provided some money to assist some rural hospitals, $300,000 for the Hope Ranch for Women, which is a good organization. They help women escape human trafficking. We provided some money for tuition reimbursement for spouses and dependent children of public safety workers and those who died as a result of military service on September 11th. And then a big one that I heard a lot about from a lot of citizens is in the budget, we put in language that does not allow state agencies to implement or require vaccine passports. Now, businesses, they can still require a person, if you're going to come into their business, to be vaccinated. There's a lot of discussion as to whether the COVID vaccines are effective or not effective, necessary, not necessary. And I'm not going to get into that discussion because we're going to anger some people no matter what we say on that. But each person's got to decide. Do you think that the vaccine provides protections? Do you think that it doesn't provide protections? Do you think it is beneficial? Do you think it's harmful? And believe me, I've heard from all sides on that particular issue. So my point again is there were some good things in the budget. There were some things, some bonding, which is borrowing. I don't know why we do that. We just put money out there rather than pay for projects. We bond it. We borrow it. And then we pay for it over several years. It's like going to the grocery store when you got a $20 bill in your pocket and spending $15 and putting it on your credit card and then not paying off the end of the month. It just draws it out. So there's, like I say, there's a lot to like, a lot to not like. Last thing I'll mention on the budget, and then if you have questions, glad to go down another road. But we put money into, and when I say we, even though I did not support the budget, I am a part of the legislature. So when I say we, it's the legislature. We put money into the state budget, which added to the overspending to provide for a 5% pay increase for judges in the state of Kansas. Not only this year, but then another 5% next year. And some of these poor judges are only earning $100,000 a year. I say that tongue-in-cheek, and just because $100,000 income is a pretty decent income in our area. So if it's for easy figuring, some make less and some make more. But for easy figuring, $100,000 salary, a 5% raise means a $5,000 raise this year. And then next year, another 5% raise, which is another $5,000 plus because they get a raise on that raise. But that's costing Kansas taxpayers $17 million a year to increase salaries for judges across the state. Could judges use a salary increase? Oh, they're not going to turn it down. They'd like to have it. But is it the right thing to do? I would question that.
Right. And so we're looking at the going into the budget for the next fiscal year or going into the red. Is there any way to pull out of that to be able to stay from going into the red? Will there be some adjustments made to be able to avoid doing that?
Well, there's two things that could happen here. One, we have exceeded estimates as far as it relates to revenue collections for several months. So our Consensus Revenue Estimating Group, a group of economists, they estimate what the economy is going to do and what the state revenue will be. But, Kyle, there's things they can't predict. They can't throw into the mix. For example, the attack on the pipeline recently, the cyber attack. Nobody knew that was going to happen as far as economists were concerned, and that's going to impact the economy. But they may make estimates, and that's what the budget's based off of, and that's what these numbers are based off of. And generally, they do a reasonably good job. But so there's two things that could impact that. One would be that revenue would exceed what we expect. The other side of the coin is it could be way under what we expect. But yes, we will need to make some spending adjustments when we get back to Topeka next January for the next fiscal year, because we cannot deficit spend in the state of Kansas. We're not the federal government. We cannot print money. We cannot continue to spend way above and beyond what we have on hand. Of course, there's always the possibility, slim at this point with the current makeup of the legislature, but there's always the possibility of a tax increase. I think that's a no-go, a non-starter for the current personnel in the legislature. But to your point, yes, we will have to find ways for spending reductions, efficiencies, not do some of the things we've been doing, which I think we should be doing anyway. We should be looking to reduce spending, allow taxpayers to keep more of their money, but it's easy to spend money. in some people's mind.
Right. Just they just can tax and spend, and that's a no-go for a lot of people.
Particularly down here.
Yeah, exactly. Looking here also at education, we talking about spent per pupil. A lot of people think that it's about $4,000 spent per pupil, but it's actually a lot more than that. Looking at these numbers that you provided with me, it's quite a bit more than that.
Yeah, it's significantly more.
Yes.
and it's frustrating when you see news reports about we're providing $4,500, $4,600 per pupil for state dollars for education. That is the base. And the base, as part of a formula, there are weightings which really add to it. But this profile that I was given, you were given, comes from the Kansas Department of Education. So it's not Republican numbers. It's not Democrat numbers. It's the Department of Education. They just put out the numbers like research. And it shows that for the current school year, and they haven't even projected next school year, but the current school year, and the numbers are not totally in, the state's providing almost $11,000 per pupil. And then when you throw in the federal money and the local property tax money, statewide, school districts are receiving, on the average, $16,200 per pupil. And that's per pupil, over $16,200 per pupil. I have asked Kyle frequently, people who say, you need to get more money to education, need to get more money to education. Okay, I say, great, I appreciate your opinion. How much do you think we should provide per pupil for education funding? Generally, the answer I'll get is, well, you ought to at least provide $5,000 or $6,000. I say, great, let's do that. And then when I tell them the amount, they all disagree with me. They say, no, you're not. Hey, I'm not making up numbers. They're here. Something that I'm going to mention on the radio today that frustrates me is we passed House Bill 2134. House Bill 2134 was the education finance bill, which we needed to pass. No doubt about it. We needed to pass it. It has some good policy pieces in it. But the reason I even bring this up, the conference committee report, which means there had been an agreement reached after negotiations, so no one really knew what the agreement would be until after negotiations were complete. We were given the conference committee report in the Senate at 3:30 in the afternoon. Actually 3:29, but we'll go with 3:30 in the afternoon. And then a vote was taken on that major piece of legislation at 4:45 in the afternoon, meaning I had senators who were not a part of the negotiation only had an hour and 15 minutes to digest the bill as to what was in it, what was not in it, the spending, the policy pieces, and various things. I don't think that's the right way for us to handle legislative business. By rights, we should have had at least a 24-hour window to read the legislation, to get familiar with it, to ask questions, and to have input on it. But that's part of the process. I'm just mentioning that. So if anyone looks and says, why, Peck, you voted no to the education finance bill. Yes, I did. I voted no for two reasons. One is the fact that we only had an hour and 15 minutes to try to digest it. That was sort of a protest vote. And then the dollar amount. Are we going to continue to allow the state Supreme Court to spend our money, or are we going to put it back in the lap of the legislature, which is where the Constitution says? So it passed overwhelmingly, and that's great. We need to fund education. It's vital that we do that and properly fund it. But then the discussion is, at what level should we fund education?
So, yeah, again, I was looking at these numbers, and it goes up every year. The last time it was $5,000 per pupil for the state was back near 2001, 2002. That was quite a while ago. And that was just for state. That didn't include federal and local as well. So
that's because of the weightings. Mm-hmm. You know, again, we got your base, which is where that we start, and then we add to it for transportation weighting, at-risk weighting, high density at risk, low income, free and reduced lunches. I mean, the list goes on and on, that there is a little bit of an ad for each pupil. And then that's where the total numbers come in, is the weighting. So it's always frustrating when you hear that the base state aid per pupil is a certain level, and people hear, and I understand, but they hear that that's the amount of money that the legislature is providing for education. And it's not. It's significantly more than that.
Right. It's a ton, actually. Before we get out of here, a few more things I did want to discuss with you quickly was, of course, you guys have been up there with the veto session, and quite a few things. You overrode a few vetoes, but and there was also one big one that didn't get overridden. It just, I guess, did not have the numbers for it. And, of course, the one that didn't get overridden, the big one, is the fairness in women's or in girls' sports. Or in women's sports act.
Yeah, girls, women's, females. But right. Yeah, the legislation was Senate Bill 55, and it was titled the Fairness in Women's Sports Act. And you are correct. We passed this in the Senate and in the House. The governor vetoed it, which I'm still scratching my head why anyone would oppose fairness in women's sports. But she vetoed it, and that's her choice. And then when we got back to Topeka, the Senate took up the veto override first because it was a Senate bill. And we did fall one vote short. We needed 27 votes, and we got 26. None of the minority party, the Democrats, voted for the veto override. I was a little surprised because I know some of them. They're good people. I thought they might join in protecting girls, protecting fairness for women's sports. But they didn't, I guess. When the governor of your party vetoes something, you're not supposed to override it, which I disagree with. I'm willing to override any governor's vetoes if I disagree with it. We had three Republicans who voted no, and we just needed one of them to change. I really thought, Kyle, after Bruce or Caitlyn Jenner, whatever name you prefer to call him or her, whatever you want to. Anyway, Bruce Jenner, who was the decathlete in 1976, the world's top athlete, who's now living as a woman. He, in an interview, very straight and very blunt, said, no, we should not allow transgender boys to compete against girls. It's a matter of fairness. And I thought that if you've got one of the best-known transgender persons in the world who says, no, this is a bad idea, that there might have been some people changed their mind, but didn't seem to happen.
And we got just under a minute left. What are a few of the other items that did get over where you guys were able to override the veto?
Senate Bill 50, which Senate Bill 50 was a bill to lower taxes on Kansans and provide some tax reductions also for some businesses. That was overridden, so that we will see that reduction. We overrode her veto, which was reciprocity for concealed carry permit holders, and also included 18 to 20-year-olds who have gone through the training to conceal carry. We had legislation to protect the security and integrity of Kansas elections, make certain that our elections are secure. And then the final one I'll mention was to provide the Don't Tread on Me license plate, which still one of those head scratchers. Why is that even a big deal? But for some, it was.
Right. Well, sir, thank you so much for coming in today. I really do appreciate it. And we will see you again here in about a month.
We will plan for about a month from now. I appreciate the opportunity,
right.
Kyle.
Thank you very much, Senator.